Sci-fi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is Starburns Audio Produced Podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. We've got a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Get two bonus episodes a week. There's also a Discord out there. I don't know. Find it. I don't understand Discord.
And it's funny, too, because the two extra episodes that you get every week, like, we do more fun bits in them. So I don't want to say it's better than our main episode, but we have fun.
It is better.
I know, right?
It is better. There's more segments. It's more structured. This thing is garbage. But anyway. Oh, you can also email us if you want, wadeandwilly@gmail.com. We, you know, sometimes we'll read them on the air if we get good questions. We haven't done that in a while. Yeah. Anyway, let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF our good friend Ian Duncan.
Hello. Hey, I'm Ian. My pronouns are he, him.
Yeah. That's a callback to before the episode started. Ian, thanks for being here, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is exciting. It's nice to talk with you and see you.
I haven't seen you in, what, 5 years or something?
Yeah, it's been a while. Though our bond is timeless.
Yeah,
exactly, man. You can't make Gigabots and not have a lifelong bond.
Exactly, exactly so.
Oh, yeah, go check out Gigabots, channel101.com. And do you have a website with everything to find? Or
for me?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no, but you can check out. Are we doing plugs right away?
Oh, no, I was just
sure.
Yeah, yeah, I was just asking, going like, wait, do you
have... Get them in before, like, everybody tunes out.
Are you supposed to have a website right now with everything? That's what. That was me going like, fuck, are you doing it right? Because I'm not.
I should have a website, but I don't. So I'm definitely not doing it right. But you can go anywhere you check out podcasts, listen to Respect the Crit. It's a tabletop role-playing game, actual play, where we play tabletop games and improvise and tell stories. And right now we're running a Star Wars campaign using the Fantasy Flight game system, and it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, that's nice. That's what if we're using, too.
Oh, nice.
If you ever need a pair of fun NPCs, like, hit me and Willie up, and we'll come in and just completely derail your entire game.
Oh, my God. For sure. That would be amazing. Well, Willie and I, we played D&D before over at my place. Yeah, in the before times.
Yeah. You as a dungeon master, so fucking amazing, dude. And I miss playing with you. You're great.
I do too. We'll do that again. And Wade, you're always welcome. You're always welcome at my table.
I will fucking do that in a heartbeat, man. I feel like all of my games have fallen apart. I haven't played in like months.
I know, right, dude? He did the thing where he's got the projection on the wall of like our map, and I don't know. You're really creative laying down the stories too. It's great.
Thanks. Well, if you like that, you want to hear more Respect the Crit, come check it out.
Respect the Crit. All right, cool. Wherever podcasts are these days, they're kind of everywhere. Ian, do you know much about, like, how do you toil in the realm of conspiracy theories or paranormal? Are you a hobbyist about it, or do you have zero interest?
I don't lurk in any of those corners, but it's always fascinating to me how, especially like the paranormal, how those kind of stories and things like are so important to us and in our culture. But no, I don't know anything about
it. Oh, you froze for a second.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, my internet's kind of spotty. All right. Well, here, we have a quiz that we do. It's called the WOW Scale. It stands for Wade or Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. And at the end, I'll give you a score. If you're more on the zero side of the spectrum, you're more of a Wade. If you're toward a 5, you're more of a Willie. Are you ready to get Wade on the WOW scale?
Yeah, absolutely. Will this tell me like where I lie as a skeptic, sort of?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
WOW scale. Are you a Wade or are you a Willie?
All right, first question is a 3-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they ever visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
I do believe that the possibility that aliens could exist. I don't believe they've ever visited Earth, ever.
So you're one of these, like, the universe is so big, the odds that they're out there has to it's like 100% that they're out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Have you been following any of the Willie? What are they calling them now?
UAP, unidentified aerial phenomenon. They've Have done been, that to like distance themselves from UFO quacks.
Yeah. Stop with your spin. Have you been following that? Are you interested in that at all?
Only a little bit. Weren't they like releasing photos or documents or something about that recently?
Yeah. 2019, they released some they declassified some footage from some secret Navy footage. And they've also, the Pentagon admitted that they are spending millions of dollars of black project money investigating the phenomenon. Which is a big turn for the last 50 years.
Yeah, I guess it's interesting, but at the end of the day, it's not like they're not going to disclose anything. They're just going to be like, yeah, we don't know. That's out there. Worry about it.
When this episode gets released, the supposed, you know how there's always conspiracy dates? The date is tomorrow, which will be a couple days before this gets released. Just saying, there's supposed to be a big disclosure thing happening tomorrow.
Oh. I want to put the Wowsco on pause real quick because there's something that I've been meaning to bring up with Willie that I kept forgetting. On the Aaron Hill, or not Aaron Hill, Aaron Pierce episode, you guys said that you were going to manifest a tulpa, which was going to be a squirrel, and it was going to come into my place. And I'm pretty sure the date has passed, and that didn't happen, and therefore tulpas are not real. Ian, do you even know what a tulpa is?
Well, no, what is a tulpa? Is it a squirrel?
It's insane. It's like it's an imaginary friend that people think are real.
It's basically like you bring life to it. You bring intention to it. You can create an entity by imagining it out of existence.
Oh, okay.
We just busted it. There's been no squirrel in my place. So
I will say, you know, after most episodes, maybe I drink too much. I haven't done anything since the episode.
Oh. I don't know if it was just you and Aaron. I think it was more for the listeners who believed in that of group together, like a group prayer circle kind of thing.
Maybe it just hasn't manifested in your timeline.
Maybe you got the wrong house. Yeah, that's right.
No. It doesn't exist. It's not a thing. You can't just make up an imaginary friend and then be like, this is real. That's not a thing. I'm sorry. You can't do that.
I'm more on your – I mean, I believe the other possibility, but I'm on your side.
Okay. Back to the Wild Scout. Question number two. Do you believe in ghosts?
No, I don't believe – I don't believe in ghosts, but I have a theory about ghosts.
Do tell.
It's kind of a long one, though.
That's okay.
Okay. So here's my theory about ghosts. I don't think that ghosts are like
dead people.
Dead people, or a connection to like a liminal space between like the living world and the dead world. But like, okay, we're three-dimensional beings, right? Like, we experience the world in three dimensions.
Yeah.
So, and there are dimensions below us, the two-dimension, you know, a line, and the first dimension, a point in space. And those dimensions can't experience three dimensions in a way that perceives three dimensions like we do. Yeah, so like, okay, so you follow me, like, if you're on a flat plane.
We've talked about the Carl Sagan thing all the time where like he puts an apple down. Yeah.
So I think that the ghosts are actually like the fourth dimension or higher dimension, I don't know, beings or instances or just like planes that are touching or interacting with our three-dimensional world. And because we can't perceive those higher dimensions, all we're seeing are sort of like three-dimensional cross sections that are passing through our timeline that are like, you know, that are disappearing and reappearing and that kind of thing. So that's kind of what I think ghosts are. And that's not based on any real science, by the way. That's totally speculative, but
I believe that too.
It gives you a little bit of credit. You do think about these things. You're not a complete layman when it comes to like this world.
Maybe so. I think about those dimensions a lot. That's for sure.
Where are you from?
Like where did I grow up?
Yeah.
Like around Seattle, Washington area.
And were you raised religious at all?
Yeah. Yeah, they tried to raise me Catholic, but I turned out way not Catholic. Yeah. And very gay.
Did you? Well, I don't know about very gay. Well, usually I ask that when people's sort of, I ask that as a follow up to Ghost to see if religion had any sort of like sway on their beliefs, but yours has nothing to do with religion, so it's sort of moot. Did you ever buy into it, the whole religious thing?
No.
You had any of that Catholic guilt going on?
Maybe for a smidge, maybe for a second, but I don't think so. I don't think there's any grand afterlife that's shared that will eventually get to, or that's promised.
Okay, well, now
to
you're
us.
Touching on something. What do you think the afterlife is? Do you think it's just blackness and a void?
Yeah, probably. I think that's probably what it is. I think it's probably a really personal experience. Like when you die and your neurons are dying and like stop firing, there's probably like a time, like an experience of time relativity there, where like time is different,
like, yeah,
for someone
hallucinating
experiencing
that. A bunch of shit. Your brain is going through like millions of years or whatever.
Exactly. And we don't have any accurate way of like figuring what that is or how to experience that. So I think it's probably something like that, but it's probably very intensely personal. And then nothing. And then it's, okay. And then you're nothing.
Well, okay. I don't know. I mean, there's actually a good documentary. I don't know if it's good. No, it's pretty good. It's called the Matrix Effect. It's called A Glitch in the Matrix, and it's a new documentary. And I think it's either on Hulu or Netflix, and it's worth checking out. It's pretty. There's some good stuff in there. Anyway,
does it talk about the afterlife kind of stuff?
It talks about like it's mostly centered around like, is life a simulation and how would we know? And like, you know, it's like, what if we wake up and we're just playing a video game the whole time? And then, you know, there's people who like actually believe we're in like the literal Matrix and stuff like that, like from the movie, which is like, you're kind of stupid if you think that. Because like, obviously the Wachowski brothers didn't crack the code, right? Like, they don't fucking know. I could rag on their follow-up movies all day, but
I just saw Jupiter Ascending, by the way.
I was gonna try and reference that, and I couldn't think of what it was called. I hated it so much.
If you're out there and you have not watched any of the Matrix movies, just watch the first one.
No, well, hang on. Well, watch the first one for sure. And even if you've, because I just rewatched them all, and like, they're not as horrible as I remember. They're definitely bad, but like, there's some good stuff in all of them.
Yeah, for sure. I feel the same way. Like, I enjoyed them. I think I enjoyed them a lot more.
They're kind of a fun rewatch. Like, now that not on this pedestal, like they're kind of fun. All right, question number three. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
No, I don't think so. No.
Very long pause for an I don't think so.
Well, I mean, do I think there's like weird variations of, I don't know, animals and creatures, you know, I don't know. There could be like mutations or something, but I don't think it's like some new genome or anything like that. Maybe even human, you know, who knows, but
like some sort of horrific anomaly.
Yeah. Or like a really creepy mutation maybe of a bear or something.
Yeah.
But like the way we understand
like a
Bigfoot,
bear fucked an elk and it actually took.
Yeah. It could happen. Nah, I kind of want to see that now. Yeah. Where does that put? What skill?
I think
does that
we
put
all
in?
Do, right? That's Island
like,
of
no,
Black Tomorrow
he
style.
Wasn't attacking you. He was crying.
All right. Question number four. Do you believe in psychics?
No, definitely not.
You ever been to one?
No, uh-uh. It seems like you have to believe a little bit in order for you to get something out of that exchange.
Right,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
If you come in like fully skeptical and like they don't know anything and you don't interact, like you're not going to have that shared experience or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's a good point. I still agree with you that they don't really do it. I don't know. I think if you're open-minded about it, you just probably read too into it, you know? Okay, question five. Are you superstitious?
Not really. I do have one superstitious thing that I do with my dice. I have a bunch of dice, like D&D dice.
Yeah.
I won't let any of the dice be with the other dice until I've rolled all of their highest numbers. And it's like come up on each of their face. So I'll like keep those. If I buy a new set of dice, I'll like keep those dice separate until I've rolled out like 20s, 10, 12, 6,
hold,
you know.
Hold on. That's just cool.
I don't know. Wait, if it's
do you
cool.
mean do you mean every session or do you just mean a brand new set of dice?
I just mean a brand new set of dice. Like if I go out, if I like go to the comic store, buy some dice, like before I put them in with my dice that have been rolled, I gotta roll them all first,
Have you ever had one that has never hit, and you just had to put it in the garbage or something?
No, I've never had a cursed die. It's because of my system. It's because of my system.
Right, it works.
It can't be disproved.
The die is shamed into being good when he's all alone out there.
Yep.
I shouldn't gender the dice, he or she or they. Okay, let's see. You're like you're basically a zero. You're basically exactly like me. I'll give you a one. I'll be generous. You're a one.
I'm a one. I'm a one on the WoW.
You're one on a WoW scale, which means, you know, half of the audience is going to disagree with everything that you say, and the other half is going to be like, he better be funny.
Well, I can't wait to disappoint them both.
You're already killing it. That's the perfect answer. All right, Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, the Akashic Records, the Book of Life, is the universe keeping track of every sentient being's every thought and emotion? I mean, I'm shit, man. We're getting deep. Sorry, I didn't plan this out to go. I'll edit some of this out.
Yeah, when do you ever? You don't get the vanity edit here. Okay. This is the thing that you're supposed to. This is the only thing. Well, that and all the research that you do. I shouldn't talk. I don't do any research.
It's just so big, though. It's just so big. And so.
Well, I think it's too big. So how are we going to talk about it?
I'll break it down. I will say that your WoW scale was so set up to be tonight's topic. It's fucking great. Existence and life after death. And
do you mean his score? Oh, his score on the WoW scale?
Just
the conversation.
The way that you answered the questions, I feel like really set up tonight's episode. It's fucking great. It's perfect.
All right, cool. Well, let's get into it. Ian, have you heard of the Akashic Records before?
I have not. I've not heard of them ever.
Don't feel bad. I wouldn't have if I hadn't done 6 years of this podcast. Now I've heard way too much about them, and it's nonsense.
I want to, like, forget everything we've talked about so that we're fresh about it. I only say that.
Hey, listen. You don't have to tell me to forget everything we've ever talked about. That happens immediately.
Done.
So take us away, man. Where do we start?
The Sanskrit term Akasha was introduced to theosophy from Blavatsky mid to late 1800s. And this was the idea that, like, she referred to the indestructible tablets of the astral light. And I'm just reading Wiki. recording both past and future of human thought and action. There was a guy who wrote a book, Esoteric Buddhism, in 1883, Alfred Percy Sinnett. And he was citing some other guy's book, a Buddhist catechism. I don't know. But anyways, he wrote, Buddha taught two things. Catechism, thank you. Buddha taught two things are eternal.
Ian, the Catholic, knows all about the catechism.
Yikes.
Oh, weird. Akasha and Nirvana. Everything has come out of Akasha in obedience to a law of motion inherent in it. And, well, anyways, so some people subscribe to the idea that maybe the Bible was talking about whenever they mentioned the Book of Records, the Book of Remembrance, that like everything that you think or do, you will be judged for when you die. And so the new wave, what's the new age version of it is, and this came a lot from Edgar Casey too, where the Akashic Records are. We subscribe to the idea that time is linear and we experience our physical existence with time not being able to go backwards and decay and all this stuff. The Akashic Records are, let's say, it's weird because I have to do some abstract things, right? So let's say that they're the universe, the existence of an intelligent something wanted to make a friend.
So some kind of space guy's out there and he's like, I'm all alone. This sucks. I'm going to start writing down everything because I want a friend.
So it's like cosmic fan fiction.
Okay. You're right. You're right. Before I go into that, you're right. You're right. Let me just set this up. There are psychics out there. There are Akashic readers out there that say that, that your entire existence and everything that you think is accessible to someone if they can jump into this realm and look at yourself from this realm. See, I know this is too big. People can look at the record of your life if they can attune themselves to the spatial dimension of being able to look at yourself. In this realm, you are a soul that might have different human experiences, but you might have other experiences too.
So it's like a magic eye poster, and like you gotta like know how to see the magic eye, the image hidden in the magic eye poster to be able to see it.
Well, it's not about, but yeah, I mean, that's a decent parallel. So let's take a one-dimensional being and then compare it to
a particle. So you have one particle by itself, one dimension.
It is intelligent and it wants to create a friend or a version of itself.
All of a sudden there's two particles, two dimensions.
And all they can do is spin around each other just to see the perspective of itself from another entity, you know? So it's like it can see itself. It's trying to see around itself. It's like trying to get another perspective of everything. So then the third dimension, or the comparing it to an atom, all of a sudden you have a nucleus and you have these
two electrons
that are floating around the nucleus. And so now you have three dimensions. You have three things that like,
so it's two dogs. They're smelling each other's butts. And then all of a sudden there's a fire hydrant and they're like, what's this?
But the fire hydrant then is also the third
Let's
dimension.
Let's piss on it. Let's fucking piss on this.
What is the and piss? That's what the What's atoms the piss in this?
The mitochondria.
The powerhouse.
Yeah. The piss is the powerhouse.
I mean, I want to do a gay joke here about the gay bar called Powerhouse where everyone pees on each other, but I don't want to be offensive.
I mean,
Powerhouse, it's inspired.
You're not wrong.
By creation. So take the story of Adam and Eve in the Bible. It's just a story. But what if they were trying to explain the creation of the universe? And what that meant was, let's go straight to the tree of life, all right? Picture a tree, the leaves that fall from the tree and the fruits that fall from the tree came from the tree and they also feed the tree. So it's all part of the same cycle for the tree, right?
Okay.
The crazy thing about a tree is even though the fruit and the leaves will feed the tree, a seed will create its own tree. And so one idea of the story of Adam and Eve is that there's a tree of life cycle going on. And a snake comes along, and new age people have said that basically the snake is the kundalini of your chakra. And so you can witness.
What is a kundalini?
Oh, okay.
I understand what a chakra is.
So you
is it also wiggly?
You have your chakras, your chakra centers, right?
Okay.
And if you charge or turn on or activate your chakras, if you activate all of your chakra centers, you create the kundalini is the energy of the chakras being united.
Oh, okay.
Kundalini, I got you. Is in effect.
This is how I win the like the ninja battle, correct?
Yeah.
Ninja Academy battle.
So how would the snake be that? Because I thought the snake was like, hey, eat the fucking fruit, you stupid fuckers.
Your existence, whatever you're doing, if you just have your own experiences, you will have your own tree of life. You will eventually be your own tree, right? And so the idea is eventually all of your experiences are going to turn you into a fruit that seeds its own tree. But if you cheat and you look at somebody else's experience, meaning you take a bite out of someone else's fruit of their tree of life, you can witness everything that they've experienced in their whole tree of life cycle.
Okay.
And you might like a matrix situation or like a simulation. You might accept all of their experiences, but you didn't experience it for yourself. And so one idea is that the snake, like by activating your kundalini and taking a bite out of somebody else's tree of life, you've taken yourself out of your own tree of life because you see theirs and you accept their matrix as your own because you've experienced it, but it actually wasn't your experience.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I understand the cell metaphor now because a cell is just replicating itself, right? And so like that new cell is just a copy of the old cell. So it has all of the memory or like DNA, like your parents' DNA. Like there's a lot of like sort of, and this is theorized, I think, but there's a lot of sort of like you can learn from your parents' DNA, right? Just through like their experiences.
Yeah. And like it's crazy because when cells replicate, there is information that goes on in the same way that the animals that we think are stupid that have smaller brains, they can run right away and escape from danger right from birth. But we don't have those traits because our brains grow bigger. And so we need to have a protective time in our life to like where we're fucking idiot babies. So whatever in this realm, the whole story of Adam and Eve is like our existence being from a soul experience. And that,
you know what I hate about a lot of the times where you talk about this stuff, it's like, I don't know if is all this Bible shit, is it a springboard for thought or is it, I need to examine the Bible, like if it's real only through what I believe.
No, it is completely just a springboard for thought only because I feel like the whole thing has been missing. And I'm not saying that it's credible either, but I look at ancient civilizations and I look at the Library of Alexandria, like being burned definitely on purpose. Like there's old ancient information. Our human brain, the current state of humans, have existed for 300,000 years. And we have no record of so 300,000 year old human, or I mean a human from 300,000 years ago, has the same brain and the same mental capacity as us currently. Yet the record of humans is only like 6,000 years old. And so with the Library of Alexandria, and we look at these ancient societies that have ancient stories, I feel like there's a chance that the purpose of our existence is somewhere in ancient texts and history, but we were so disconnected from it. Not that we even need to know it, but that we're so disconnected from them that if there was a story, there's a chance that we're trying to tell a story and we took it wrong. You know, in the same way that, like, I believe the Jesus story, the rebirth story, is just a story of the planets. It's just connected to, you know, they do it well and I'm forgetting right now, but that the rebirth of Jesus is actually the sun coming back up at, you know, after the winter solstice.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I get it. I just, like, I hate that, like, Christianity is such a big part of all these things, because I think Christianity is such a made up fucking thing, and then people are just, like, reading into it to, like, to sort of, like, make it valid, you know?
Yeah, and that's one thing too, is that, like, I don't want to bring validity to anything that has, like, squashed humanity from a creative standpoint. I think Christianity is, like, one of the worst things that's happened to humans.
I think religion as a whole is.
But it's got that story, that mythology that you're talking about.
Yeah,
there's like a story that, like, connects humanity somehow, even though it's interpreted in ways that are used to oppress people.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You said it great. Yeah. It's a control thing.
But that's just the monomyth, isn't it? I mean, it's still just the monomyth. It's just this story that's, like, maybe from learned DNA that we all have this, like, storyteller part of us where it's like Star Wars, you know?
You know what's kind of cool is, like, that you bring up Star Wars. Like, there's a thing in Star Wars that sounds a lot like this. And it's called.
And they dropped it too quick, but go on.
Yeah, it was like part of the original screenplay, but they cut it out. It's called the Book of the Wills, and originally, like, the whole saga of Luke Skywalker and everything is being told to these ancient cosmic beings that are part of the Force. And they are, and R2-D2 is telling these beings about the saga of Luke Skywalker, and they are writing it down in this thing called the Book of the Wills, which is basically a history of the entire galaxy from one end of time to the other. And it's like such a powerful thing that if you ever gained even a single page of this journal and you wrote inside of it, you could manifest whatever you wanted into the galaxy.
Isn't that crazy to have an AI surviving the history of humans and telling the story of humans, you know? Like, it,
yeah, absolutely. I always think that, like, it's funny, because sorry to bring up Star Wars again, but they're like in that, like, droid sentience is an issue, and they've never really touched on it gracefully in any of the films or TV show, but it is, like, something that exists in the Star Wars universe. And they never know what to do. Like, how do we treat droids? Are they actual life or whatever? And I think, like, it brings up interesting questions, because, yeah, like, it is life. Maybe it's life that is, like, similar but different. Or life that comes from something else other than, like, what we know. And it makes me think too, like, these Akasha records, is it as organic as you talk about? Like, is it as, like, a organic experience that we have, or is it something like even more abstract than that?
Well, let me, I want to go into the Edgar Casey version real quick, because, do you know who's
Edgar Casey? No.
Wait. On the, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll fill Ian in on. Will he keep it short?
Yeah, yeah.
About Edgar Casey. I mean, I could do it right now. He's a guy who claimed to be able to see. He was like a Nostradamus sort of dude. He was like, right.
I thought you were going to say Nosferatu.
I almost did. I almost did. But he, like, claimed that he could see a bunch of shit, and then, like, no one ever disproved that he couldn't.
Well, no. I mean, here's the thing: is
he
I
would write, like, shit, put it under his pillow, and then whatever.
No, I'll do a quick one.
Listen, we gotta take a quick break. What? No, go on.
I was going to say, like, the Mormon tablets, right? Like the...
Oh, the John... Is it John Smith? No, who was it?
Yeah, I think
Joseph,
it's...
Joe. Joseph Smith?
Yeah.
Joe
Smith? Joseph Smith, yeah. Yeah.
Great basketball player. All right. When we come back, we're talking about the Akashic Records with our good friend Ian Duncan. Ian Duncan. Yeah, it works.
Really Bad Movies, in association with Craig's Fine Grocery Stores, presents A Normal Family.
Billy, catch the ball. Billy, catch it. I'm going to throw it. Billy.
A possessed knife.
Hey, Billy, where'd you get that?
Why?
Well, because Mom wanted to cut some ham that she just cooked, and she doesn't have a knife. She's looking for one. Bring that to Mom.
This knife turns anyone that touches it into a cold-blooded killer.
Mom? What's wrong? The ham's over there. Mom? Mom? Mom?
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath. You don't need to see the other three to enjoy the thrills and the kills and the chills.
I wish Mommy didn't kill Billy. He was cool.
The knife. It has me. It has control of me.
What are you talking about, Greg? Put that... What are you doing?
Greg, put that thing down, man. That's a serious weapon. Greg!
Everyone killed everyone. Everyone did it. I don't get it. Wait. Maybe I do.
Bloodblade 4. Bloodbath.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. We are here talking to our good friend Ian Duncan. The podcast is called Respect the Crit. Check it out if you're into comedy and Dungeons and Dragons. Did you do improv?
No, and I'm very bad at it.
Willie, what are the rules? Yes, and?
Yes, and don't write anything. Don't think. You know, like if you're writing, then you're not listening.
See, that's my biggest problem. I like overthink everything. Like someone says, oh, good morning. And I'm like, what do they mean by that? What is the narrative here?
but as a DM, you kind of have to, right? Because you are writing the narrative. So it's like.
Yeah. Well, we're all like you're cooperatively like we're all writing.
Yeah. See, if you take DMing and GMing as improv, you're actually really good at it. You just haven't identified. You haven't labeled it properly, you know, like you hear what everybody's saying and you take that information and you just make it better by putting your own spin on it. You are actually a really great improver.
I just can't access those skills unless there's dice involved.
When you're put on the spot, you're like, what am I doing? Like, yeah. No. Look at the orc.
Right. Yeah, look away. I can make funny noises with my mouth, and that usually gets me out of a lot of those situations.
All right, so we are talking Akashic Records. We're filling in those listeners who don't know, and Ian, on who Edgar Cayce is. Willie, give us your Cliff Notes version.
Here's the quickest version. He grew up a Christian man. He eventually became known as the Sleeping Prophet. He could put himself into a trance. And while he was in the trance, he wasn't conscious of what he was saying or what he was thinking. And he said that he was connecting to the Akashic Records, which was a plane of existence where he could see your whole life from beginning to end as one idea. But he would say that the person looking at this record would influence the way that they interpreted the record. So like the eighth dimension, this guy on Gaia that was talking about it this way, that like would be, you know, I was talking about how you have one atom, then you have two and they're going around each other. And then you have three dimensions,
dogs and piss. And
then all of a sudden, hydrants. if you had eight
midichlorians, right?
The eighth dimension would be a way to see every single dimension that existed from and everything that they're doing. So it's just like a physical idea, but a perspective idea of like, if you take the geometry of an eighth dimension, a toroid or whatever, whatever it would be, you could witness everything else in the previous dimensions. And so the idea of the Akashic Records is so Edgar Cayce never knew what he was saying. So they started taping his while he was in a trance because he didn't fucking know what he was saying. Mm-hmm. And so you would have to pre-screen your questions. At any rate, he said that he would connect to the Akashic Records, look at your life as a whole, and then just kind of give you notes. It's like, notes.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Right? Like, oh, hey, you know, like what happened was he went blind. And then while he was in a trance state, he cured his blindness.
Really?
By telling whoever he was with what he needed to cure it. And so the sleeping prophet, he would heal people by looking at, because he could look at their physical attributes, but also their mental attributes and their soul experience. But when he woke up, he didn't know anything he said. So they started keeping records because it was like, this is important because he's connecting to an ethereal plane that like, he says that anybody,
other timelines, other possibilities. He says
anybody can have access to it. You just have to like meditate. It's a meditative state to connect to.
Yeah, that's like saying anybody can juggle.
Yeah,
practice true. Yeah.
I kind of feel like there's no way that we could, like, I don't think we could perceive any of those higher dimensions. I think we'd have real difficulty being able to do that. Like, I don't think if you were able to travel into fourth and fifth and sixth dimensions, like the only tools we have equipped are to experience things in three dimensions. So it would be like craziness. It would be like Cthulhu cosmic madness, which I love, by the way.
But you saying that though, when you say that we can't connect to them, it's like, yeah, we have no idea how to do it. But even according to like string theory, like it exists around us. So even though we don't know how to, like we can connect to ourselves on higher dimensional planes.
I think like if we're going to put it in Ian friendly terms, it would be like,
please,
in Dungeons and Dragons, when you go to the ethereal plane, it's a whole new way to look at shit. And you don't really train how to do that. You're just there and you're seeing all that shit. So I think the point is, if you know how to tap into this, you're able to perceive it all as it was meant to.
That's very lucky.
Well, but here's what Willie would say. Willie would say that we're all meant to, and we've turned that part of our brain off because we've calcified our pineal glands. And therefore, this is just something that we should all be able to do, but we can't do it anymore because of computers or caffeine or whatever the fuck thing.
You know what's cool, though? It reminds me of when you said that guy went blind. And sorry if this is tangential again, but like, do you remember the Elder Scrolls? Like Skyrim and Oblivion and all that.
Yeah.
Like that, that's basically what the scrolls were in the namesake of the game. The Elder Scrolls are like these scrolls about like time and dimension and all this stuff. And like you can't actually read them like a language. They have to be like translated and interpreted because it's not like something, it's not like written language or spoken language. And like the people that try and do that, like read those in this fictional world, they eventually go blind. Like it's not meant to be perceived by human form. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's a great parallel because so like one of the earlier people in history that they think was attuned to this was Thoth. And they say that the book of
Thoth.
Thoth is from the
mummy.
Yeah, it's from Egyptian times. But like the book of Thoth is something that it's a written book, but you can only access it when you can attune to that plane. And so here we have another story from another civilization that is like, here's a book that you can read, but not everyone was meant to read it.
But here's the theme that I'm seeing. We've discovered that Star Wars and Skyrim both stumbled onto the same. These are just fiction ideas where if you sit around enough and think about shit, you fucking come up with it, right? Because it's like, I don't know, I'm bored. Like, how are we going to make this sci-fi TV show? Let's make Morty be able to see every path that he could possibly take. And then, you know.
Okay. So let's take that as fiction and let's look at the history of humanity and take these. Are there anything that are close to these fictional stories? So if that were true and we could, if you look at the people that were in that, like, let's take Einstein, for example. Einstein's theory of relativity just came to him. If you look at the history of how, like, sure, he was studying this stuff or whatever, but the whole idea came to him. And so some right. people say
well, it's
that,
like how Paul McCartney wrote Yesterday in His Sleep.
What?
That's what he says. He dreamt that song and then he woke up and he's like, this has got to be a song. And he looked for it and he's like, this isn't a song. I just wrote it. And then he started playing it and everyone, you know, creamed their jeans.
Wait, I think we've found the voice for your D&D character.
You want me to do my bad Liverpool?
Yeah. It's quite good.
You're not supposed to be in here. That's all you say. Like, that's the only yeah. yeah.
The princess is in another castle. We're not looking for a princess. Well, even so, she's not here.
That's funny. Oh, what was I saying?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Yeah,
no, it's all good.
People writing in sleep, Albert Einstein.
Oh, yeah. So one idea is that if we exist, if the Akashic Record plane was real, then people would be able to, if they accidentally tapped into it, they might get information that either a future society or an mm-hmm. alien society or the future versions of us were trying to steer us in a direction, they could inspire people that were ready to take that information, you know? So like when you look at Einstein coming up with the theory of relativity, it fucking came to him in one night. It was one instant, you know? So like, what if it's like, oh, here's somebody that attached to it. Give them the information. You look at Tesla's got stories of like, having the answer.
But maybe, because here's the thing with the Einstein relativity thing. Like, that motherfucker is definitely, like, writing on his chalkboard. Like, he's thinking about math all the time. Like, he's thinking about theories. And, like, it's not...
Yeah, how many theories did he...
to him.
How many theories did he not come up with before he came
yeah,
up
Yeah, like,
with
how many
that?
Failed? The theory of unrelativity never... he was like, nah, he X'd it out.
He also had a weird, like, you know, cleaning... whatever, your foreskin area, whatever.
Hello. Let's get into that.
And he was way
Einstein's
wrong about
foreskin.
It. He was definitely wrong about the foreskin.
They didn't have Q-tips then. I don't have a foreskin. I don't know how to clean a foreskin.
But
what I'm saying is, like, when you're working on a... Oh, I'm sorry. When you're working on a problem, and not even that he was trying to work on that problem, but he's just, like, the numbers and shit. He's a genius. And so once his brain gets to rest, it's like if you ever have a problem with a story and you're like, I can't crack this fucking story. Yeah. And then you go to sleep and your brain is still sort of like working on it in the background. And then you come up with the answer. Like, I'm not discounting any
of
this
shit.
Oh,
no.
I'm just offering a different sort of like way into it.
It's great because my answer to that, which isn't an answer, but my suggestion, what about the ideas of people coming up with the same idea that's brand new at the same time? I know you can say we're all inspired by the same existence and we have the same influences. There was one specific example, and my memory is terrible, so I might be bastardizing this. But there were two people from different parts of the world that came up with this idea that different people could be connected on a different plane and come up with things, the same idea. And they both came up with the same idea of at the same time of like people could be connected, come up with the same idea. And they had a lot of the same references where there was like 50 references that they both used at least to like support their idea of people.
What getting these Akashic records?
Well, people coming up with the same idea without being connected,
like,
to each other.
Like Volcano and Dante's Inferno?
yeah, right?
Well, there was just two Volcano movies that existed at the same time in like the late 90s.
But yeah, so like they both wrote books
Wait, about... was it Dante's, in, Dante's Peak?
Dante's Peak. Peak, yeah. Yeah. All right.
Sorry.
But I think that Joseph Campbell came up with the same idea as
Socrates?
Who was Freud's assistant?
Freud's assistant?
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about
was it a monkey?
Are you talking about the other major philosopher? Jesus. What's his fucking name?
Was it Jesus?
No, he's huge.
Jesus is pretty big.
Yeah. What's bigger than Jesus?
The Beatles.
According to Lennon.
Oasis, right? Wasn't Oasis? Since they're bigger than the Beatles.
Bigger than the Beatles. The Beatles were bigger than God.
Google. Thank you for listening, but currently we're Googling.
Carl Jung.
Yes, thank you, thank you. So Carl Jung and Joseph Campbell both came up with the same idea, but from different perspectives, where, like, if a society
Aristotle's the guy I was going to say, though. Aristotle did it way before those dudes did. And that's not a gotcha in any way. I said Socrates earlier. I needed to correct. And I found the right guy.
So, but one idea. Okay. So in this realm, though, like there are people out there saying that the Matrix is bad. And so I just like that's from the perspective of the Matrix, the movie is real. Right. And so one idea in this new age fashion is that, like, hey, if the Matrix exists and if that's closer to our existence, that's not bad. We just don't understand it. And so maybe, you know, disconnecting from the source is how we learn to be a leaf until we can be I just learned this from watching this, that, like, not every flower turns into a fruit on a tree.
Mm-hmm.
So even a flower that drops from the tree will feed the tree.
I feel like that should be on an inspirational poster somewhere.
yeah, it's crazy.
Not every flower turns into a fruit.
I've got that needlepoint, actually.
But the flowers that do turn into fruits can create their own trees, and they will still feed the old tree. And so the idea, whenever you look, there's so many civilizations that have the tree of life. And like, sure, it's a parallel of existence, whatever. But what if there was one civilization that knew how the existence of the universe started, and they were trying to tell it? You'd have to use a parallel. You can't tell people how the universe started without a parallel.
Right. No. Yeah. I mean, it's exactly like how we keep.
I think that's really interesting, Willie. Let me hit you with this, though. I think. It's what if that information is something that, like, we're not supposed to have? Like, what if it's like veers more into the, like, H.P. Lovecraft, like, the universal truths, the truth of the universe will actually drive you insane. Like, it's not something that we should be perceiving or anything.
I think about that all the time. Like, if our brains aren't meant to handle what our souls are, maybe we shouldn't be searching for our souls. You know, we're just supposed to just have our experience. And that's the disconnect. Like if you want to train a God to be a God, you have the God experience every single entity that's ever existed. And then they can know how to rule. Rule is the wrong word, but
yeah.
I understand.
It might not be. It might not be.
Yeah.
There's nothing to say we live in a benevolent fucking universe. Like, this could all be, like, very fucking, like, gotta be the most fucking, like, whip chain fucking god. Like, you gotta keep these people in line.
And this
S&M.
Is
now we're going back to the powerhouse.
Yeah, right.
This is a great thing that I learned in this experience of researching for this stuff, is that, like, religion made the powers of good versus evil. If you look at the history of any of this stuff, it is positive versus negative. And to be a neutral body in the middle, positive and negative are both a part of the story. So it doesn't make one better than the other. If you are too good, it's going to be a bad thing. I had a story for it. I don't remember what it was, but it's just like
called Star Wars. That's the story for it.
No, it's Mass Effect, right? Like if you're too good, you're not going to see all the cutscenes.
Yeah,
you gotta toe the line. You'll see them all.
Paragon and Renegade.
It's not good versus evil. You have to take a step back and make it like positive versus negative is not Jesus versus Satan. You know, it's a part of the same story. The fruit rotting will still feed the tree. It's like
that's like that whole thing about where people say like, well, if you got rid of all laws, why wouldn't I kill somebody? And it's like, well, probably because you shouldn't kill people. do you really need a law to tell you not to
horrific
kill people?
As a human being?
Yeah. It would like damage you. It would damage your psyche. You would never be the same after that. And you're also like ending someone's life, whatever that
but
is.
Also, and I don't mean to be too sadistic, but like ending someone's life and experiencing that from both them being tortured and then the torturer, also the universe learns from both of them. And I, you know what I mean? Like I don't want to go down that route because it can justify.
So that's what you're saying. You're saying that we're all connected and every single experience is making the universe more unified.
Yeah.
That's interesting. And I almost hate that. I think maybe I do hate it because that just means that like there's almost no willpower. Because if you believe that everything that you do is contributing to like this greater universal knowledge, then you know you could be chaos, right?
Yeah, yeah, and like what could your chaos teach a god to how to restrict chaos in their universe? I'm like, to me, this is like DMing a DM, you know, like where does it stop? And how deep do you go to, because you, once you go down that path, you can validate anything you do that's quote unquote evil.
Mm-hmm. Cause it has some kind 100%. Of thing. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that either.
I don't like this at all. I feel like you shouldn't be putting this out there because it's like justifying a lot of people's actions that they would otherwise feel, you know, bad about.
And I will say, I feel like a lot of the people that do kidnap and torture people is because they have an idea in their head of what's right and that they're trying to teach a lesson to someone else, you know, without me knowing any, I can't jump into their main. Yeah. They're, you know.
Yeah. I think a lot of them are just fucking psychopaths and sadists and they just want to fucking,
but the crazy thing about psychopaths is that they have justified their actions. And so in the same way that a religion justifies their act, like everybody's justifying everything they do. So like, how do you,
okay, but
that's not a cosmic justification though. That's like, that's like a personal justification that comes from like all kinds of biases and things like that. So
like the psychopath justifies it through nihilism. Religion justifies it through, we're going to try and make some money. They want control. They want money and control and power. Like, you know, religion, there's no good thing about religion, I don't think. Like, it's just, it's only been used for bad stuff.
And so, like, my sneaky perspective is that, like, the heads of religions might have, and I'm just posing this, what if they figured out the nature of reality and they realized that they would lose all control if everyone knew what our existence was? So then you hone it in and you control the perspective of the universe.
Yes.
And that's my biggest fear is that like we've been duped by everybody, and that doesn't mean that I'm right about it, but it makes me
go on again.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. I don't know if it's something as like powerful as a reality, but certainly like duping the world into believing what is powerful and where power lies, and then being able to manipulate people through that. You know, we have what you're almost edging like class consciousness, and I love it. I'm here for it. You know, like there is a whole tier of protected class or like wealth class, call it, you know, religion and all that, that is certainly invested in protecting their power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like, Willie, like you shouldn't be depressed about that, because that's the point of this podcast, right? We're here asking the questions. Basically, the whole point of this podcast is question everything, right? Like, don't ever believe anything. And I think, like, in this day of, like, internet news and all of this false information that's out there, it's a good sort of lesson to just be like, my dad used to say this. My dad used to say, don't believe everything you read. And it's kind of like, well, now you just believe everything that's on Fox News. So
it's like, poisoning your brain.
Yeah, take your own lesson. But like, yeah. I think that's a great lesson of just like, you can't just never believe anything. Like, be skeptical. That's why I'm a skeptic when it comes to all of these things, because it's like, yeah, I'll hear you out and open my mind up to the possibility of all of these things. And I don't really have a point. I've just been kind of rambling.
Well, do we even doubt these records that you're talking about? Like, if you had the chance to take a look at them.
Well, I mean, and that's the thing is, like, what if the thing is this, and of course I'm on this perspective, but like the state of humanity now, there's no way most people are even ready to get that information, because we don't live in a society that most society doesn't believe in the soul, sort of thing, you know. Or it's like, what if we could access this information? I don't
know about most society. I think a lot of people believe in the soul.
I'm just saying that, like whether it's soul belief or not, like to get this information you'd have to just spend too much time convincing people what this realm was.
Okay, but like, here's the thing. I feel like if these Akashic records are real, I think it would be equal to in Indiana Jones when they look at the
they
look at the thing and their faces melt or whatever. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's what it would be. And like, maybe I'm just maybe I bought too much into that whole thing. Like, there, because my theory has always been that the purpose of life is to just experience life and to just go through and be like, okay, this is happening right now. And like, this is, I don't know. That's why I started reading about Buddhism and stuff like that, because it's all about just like the present and like all that stuff. But could that be the big fucking like bait and switch where they're like, oh yeah, no. Just experience the life and continue feeding into all of this power that we know about.
You know? Yeah, I'm well, you know, and I've always just seen in the history of humans, like, corruption has been so prevalent that I only expect corruption, and that bad on me, because for anybody who's not corrupt, golly gee, like, fucking good luck to you. but when I try to imagine previous civilization, you know, I always glorify the past, but I do that because I know that they were just as corrupt, you know.
You like that's very dangerous. Yeah.
You like the 50s when America was great.
Everyone had all the same rights.
Yeah. Everyone was equal. If you put in real the justice. Work, you made it.
I know. But like, for me, I'm more of a Star Trek guy where I'm like,
yeah, you're talking about like Egypt and shit like that. Like,
how do we get to a point where life is valued as life? And it's like, well, the definition of life, if you look at all these new age people, they say that rocks have as much life as humans, that there's consciousness, there's memory, there's information, that there's a perspective in that. And it's just like, wow, it's too crazy to get everyone on board. But isn't the depth isn't the real nature of reality too crazy for everyone to get on board with? Like, there's no way we have it figured out. And this, and not that we need to, and, you know, I also subscribe to the fact that figuring it out takes away the point of it. So I don't know where to go. I just know that boy, I have, you know, I laugh at myself because I'm like, here I am trying to connect to even aliens that are there. But I also, you know, can't get rid of this Optimus Prime that I have, you know, like I am a consumer. I've bought into everything. I love things too much. There are toys that I love more than most people that I've met, you know.
You have like, earthly connections.
That's not right. But no, it's also not wrong.
Right. There's a lot of people who suck. There's a lot of people that if let's say the devil came down and I'm like
from Georgia.
The devil came down to Georgia and I'm there for some reason. I've never been to Georgia, but for some reason I'm there. And he's like, you can have this transformer, or you could have this guy could keep living. And it's like some fucker who like yeah, I'll take the transformer, man. Like, fuck that guy. I don't care.
And then, like, sure, he was an asshole, but he's got a family. And like, oh, they're crying. They're crying.
They'll be better off without him. They'll be better off without him. We don't need. They will then transform into better people without this husband. Like, fuck this guy.
Who hurt you? Yeah. Who?
Oh man, it's a dirty business. Dirty business. Oh,
that's great.
I think that's kind of. I mean, what do you? I don't know if there's. I'm kind of with Wade. I don't think there's a way that we have access to it or supposed to have access to it. I'm sort of in that like it will melt our face kind of thing in our thing. But if there's something beyond this experience, this meat experience, and all the things that we're experiencing here, and to that end, I don't honestly know. I don't think anybody does. Maybe there is like that is a way of accessing that information. And then all the questions that you have here in this experience, it's possible to find answers to them by biting into those other apples, looking at other experiences, finding different perspectives. And that brings up more questions. And then you can look through more perspectives to find more answers to those things.
Yeah, until it's like turtles on top of turtles, right?
It's turtles on top of turtles. It's turtles all the way down.
No, but that could be right. Like, what if we are in a simulation and this is supposed to be therapy for like whatever we're going through on this other like higher realm, and we're supposed to like get through this, and then that will clue us into like, oh, now we'll be better people on that realm.
It's meant to lead to understanding universal truths.
Yeah, and so the whole thing about like trying to find out the universal truth is like not good, because you would be hindering your therapy. It would be like you're not working through it correct.
You're cheating. You're skipping. Yeah, you're
trying to jump to the end. What are you doing the Mario warp level, man?
You're trying to figure out who you are before the ride. No, no, no. Just experience the ride. Like fucking get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I like Buddhism so much, because it's just like, fuck it. Fuck it. It's fine. Just do whatever and it's fine. And I'm paraphrasing. all of Buddhism.
Oh, really? Yeah. Nailed it.
But that's why I like it so much, because it's just like, I don't have very many gray hairs, because I'm like, stress sucks. I don't care about stress. I don't care how I'm going to pay my rent. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And it's a warm blanket. And that could be the hugest trap of all.
And so
like,
here's
suck on the nipple, man.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I like that. And you know, the ideals of Buddhism are beautiful and interesting. But yeah, I think it's almost like we have like, in order to find that, we also have to like pay that forward and like make it a better place for the other for other people, you know, the people that we yeah. can't even see, the people that are beyond our time as well, you know, and maybe that's the ride. And the ride is fucking nasty, boys. It is a nasty fucking ride, but but we make the ride better for later on.
I think that's the whole goal, right? That's the whole goal. But then we've got all these people in power above us who are like stopping us from doing that. Like all these fucking bigots and like climate change deniers and everyone who's just like, no, we have the power and we're not going to do fucking shit about that. Like deal with it. There's this law in Texas about abortions or whatever. Yeah. It's Georgia. Yeah. And it's just like, what are you guys doing? You're taking a step back. Like, why the fuck do you care about this shit?
Yeah.
Like, get over it, man.
Idiots. Well, and here's the thing. When I look at these issues where that you're talking about and I go, oh, that's these are happening because they're trying to align with the church. You know, it's
no,
like,
yeah, they are aligned with the church. Like they I guarantee you there's money being exchanged for you know, you're getting more votes because those people have been indoctrinated by the church and like all that bullshit.
And so like when I picture, I always bring this up, but like, you know, the first movie of Star Trek where like Voyager got sent out and then this intelligent race like sent it back to us.
Right, this is where I check out.
It was trying.
At Star Trek?
Yeah, right. Well,
I can't do it. I can't do Star Trek. That's my limit.
But like to me, the idea of AI not understanding humanity, like, well, AI is going to exist past us. So does that mean that AI actually is a bigger part, could be a bigger part of the universe because it doesn't die? Or does our soul? So, I mean, soul is a weird thing. It's just an easy word to say.
Sure.
But like our soul has to be close to an AI.
Do you think an AI would have an easier time accessing something like a buffet of experiences along a tree?
Right. You know? Like how do you interpret a buffet of emotions when it's all programmed?
Oh, well, no, listen. I mean, if it's me, I think like here's what happens.
We create, I want to see AI, Wade, right? The AI.
No AI will ever be like me, man. So we create AI. Amen. and then suddenly there's like a civil rights movement for AI because we're like, well, but they like think and stuff. And then there's like big, like fucking, like, you know, assholes who are like, but they're not human or whatever. But I kind of side with those humans because I think if this is a thing, if there's these Akashic records and all of this like sort of spirituality that we are supposed to tap into and AIs sort of like take over and outlive us, then how would they ever have the spirituality to like tap into that? And I feel like if it's a simulation, it would stop once there's more AIs than there are humans, or once there's only AIs left, because you can't learn from an AI.
If
you're a part of the higher society that created the people that created the AI, because what are the AI going to tell you when you are in a society that already has those AIs that already knows more than these little fucking
interesting.
AIs. And see, my spin is that what if the soul at some point could choose to inhabit AI? Like why does the vessel need
this is
to
transhumanism? And I am here for it. I love it.
I mean, so, like, you know, it's just Battlestar Galactica is all I'm.
Well, it kind of is.
And now we've hit them all. Because, Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica.
On your bingo card, if you had Battlestar Galactica, you'd put that up. But isn't that kind of the point, like, of all these, everything that's been thought of has already been thought of. Like everything that we say we can relate to in some sci-fi fucking TV show that's been around for fucking 40 years or whatever.
I think that's what's so cool too, is like we have these incredible stories and myths and this idea of like these Akashic records that people, you know, like this story that you can move up in a dimension and see beyond your experience and all of those things. And like, whether or not that's true, what's interesting is that's a story that's shared through like time and space for everyone, you know? We still call back to it all the time. Why is that so important? Fascinating.
It's actually very comforting to think like that we are not a blip on the radar. We're a thing that is contributing to this larger thing. And maybe that's the point. We're the experiment. We're like one of the variables in a science experiment. Like, oh, what if we put racism into this one? You know, and then we live for our fucking 300,000 years or however long we've been here. And they're like, okay, racism isn't good.
That one didn't work.
Do that one again.
That one sucks.
Question everything. Like, we got to try it out. You know, like, you've got like, hair on your teeth. That's the next thing.
Gross.
We cannot compare racism to hair on your teeth.
Hair on your teeth is way worse than racism. No, hair on your teeth is way worse than racism. I'm sorry. But my point is, it's comforting to feel like that's why all of these theories exist, because they're comforting in some way. You go like, oh, no,
they tie us
like,
to something bigger.
Life isn't pointless. There's a point to life, and this is what it is. And I, that's where they all come from, right? There's got to be a point to life. There has to be. And so maybe like we are 20 simulations deep, and the people way, way up there are still going like, what's the point of life? And it's like, oh, okay, so it's infinity forever. We're just trying to figure out what the point of life is, you know?
Well, and this is the dumbest thing that I'll probably ever say. But
I doubt it.
What if TV shows affected our consciousness enough to where TV shows were just as valid as experiences, because here's a way to, as a simulation, experience more things by just sitting there?
Yeah, I can see that. It's like a training mechanism for like, because, you know, like television has always been about like morals and endings and like growth. Right. And so like if you experience the growth of like Sam Malone in a half hour, it took him like a lifetime to do that. Yeah, and you're like, oh, don't be mean to the waitress.
Well, so you I get think, it.
Yeah, it's I, like there'd be a TV show for like a whole existence. Like, hey, watch this TV show just so you catch up with us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think as media exists now, like, obviously read, educate yourself and learn from other perspectives. But like media as exists now, that could never be, because we have severely underrepresented people in those media. So the perspectives of the stories and information we're getting is totally skewed, you know, from like what a human, like the humanity experience as a whole is.
Like this is a bad parallel, but like Mike Seaver and Boner don't have a black friend or an Asian friend, or, I mean, that's just stupid. I just take picture like the sitcom realm of like, well,
it's right the other way too, where like if you watch Martin or whatever, there's probably only one white guy and he's probably a doofus, and like they're all skewed to whatever audience they're going at,
and your experience also shouldn't point out the different races of the same human race. You know, it's like it's a story, not.
I honestly, if this is a simulation and they're learning from this, I guarantee you this is the racism one, where they're like, let's see what happens when people hate other people because of the color of their skin. I referenced that there's a new documentary series on Netflix about Boys to Men. It's about pop songs, and every episode is a different thing. But like, the first episode is about Boys to Men, and they talk a lot about like, oh, so like you look at the R&B charts, it's the same kind of music as the pop charts, but R&B is like exclusively black. And to cross over onto the pop charts, you have to like get the wide audience, and then you will be on the pop charts. It's the same fucking music.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with anything other than jumping on to the old.
It's just whoever's buying it that then that becomes pop. If white people are buying it, that becomes pop. I can't remember what started me on this, but I think I figured it out. I think the point of this life is an exercise in racism, and we're trying to figure it out, and we're all racists.
Yeah. My hope is that the end of this, we all discover that, yeah, that we're all, well, at least white people, we are all racist. And how do we like fix that about the ourselves and the world? Right. Like, right. What do we
but,
need to?
But
and when it's you... probably like the level above us are struggling with like some goopy aliens that showed up and they're like, we hate them. Why do we hate them? All right, let's make an Earth where there's like black and white people and let's see how they figure it out. And then maybe we won't hate these goopy aliens.
Right. like to me, my perspective is, oh, how can you be racist when you're everyone? You have to teach yourself that you're everyone.
So this goes back to
I didn't know this podcast something... was going to get so political.
Well, no,
is that how it usually goes?
Well, kind of. It's hard to talk about this stuff without getting a little political. But I digress a little to say, Willie always says it's all about like being connected. It's the whole like doing acid and then coming out and being like, oh, we're all connected and stuff like that. And like, I think that is probably true, right? Like, it's all connected, and we should all like get along. And maybe that's the point. Maybe that's the point of like the different races is to. I hate to keep bringing it back to race, but I just love that idea that we're a simulation.
You're really drilling down into this race.
I know.
Thing.
I'm sorry.
Well, I always, you know, whenever I picture Ronald Reagan's speech, it's like, I often wonder if we would all drop our differences if an alien threat came. And I'm like, yeah, we would all be racist towards the aliens if when aliens showed up, you're black, you're Chinese, you're whatever. You're not an alien, so fuck them. And I'm like, that doesn't,
right.
That also doesn't fix
yeah,
the problem.
That's not the point.
Right.
Yeah, that's just pushing it down the line.
Right,
yeah,
kicking that can. Yeah. I mean, that's the whole Watchmen story, right? Is like,
oh shit, yes, yeah,
yeah, you know, like unite humanity with a hatred against a problem.
I'm like, it's still hate. It's still fucking hate.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
See, and yet again, we stumble upon another pop culture reference. Everything it's already all been done. Like, there's nothing you can do anymore. It's all.
There's nothing new under the sun.
There's nothing new. The only thing you can do is like make a planet full of farts and then make $1 billion.
No, but they all sound
fire
different.
All the writers,
all
fire all the writers that got you there, and
yeah, really cut the ladder out from under you. That's
let's wrap it up, Willie. Any kind of final thoughts on this thing? Do you want to surmise? Is that the right word? Surmise?
That's what you do with your eyes when you're smiling. Surmise.
When you're taking your headshots, you can surmise.
My belief that is constantly changing says that whatever I hate the I really hate the word soul because it's too defined, but that our soul experience is and it might be hopeful because I'm so afraid of death. It's the biggest thing I've feared in my life, but I find comfort in defining something that is undefinable, like religions, you know, where it's like, hey, I'm going to heaven. And so my new heaven is the universe.
That's the whole thing, right? I'm sorry to cut off your final thoughts, but that's the whole thing. Like, all of these theories are about trying to be comfortable about like our mortality.
Yeah. And whenever I hear somebody talk about a past life, I'm like, man, fuck you. You weren't all Cleopatra, you know? But I also say...
No, but I was, though. I was,
yes. I am that bitch. Thank you very much.
But I also think, like, could we all have experienced Cleopatra if we were all the same person? And so, like, I sway. I torment myself with the universe going, like, what's important? What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just find a way to smile because like even if you could smile while kicking your boot into someone's face, that doesn't validate your smile. What the fuck is existence?
You're supposed to have a kid and make him better than you are. That's the whole thing. It's like you're supposed to fucking die, but then make something better before you do, right? That's the whole point, I think. And I'm not ever having kids, so I already failed.
Well, you don't have to have kids to do that.
I like the tree comparison, though.
I could teach a man how to fish.
if you're a tree sitting next to another tree, there might be another tree looking at you going like, oh, man, maybe I don't eat all these fruits. You know, I'm just saying the only thing that I know is that we're never going to figure out the purpose of life. And so it makes me go like, well, why do I keep asking?
Because you have to. Well, you're compelled.
I feel like that's your purpose, is to ask, right? Like, yeah. I'm not driven to do that. I'm driven to do something else. I don't think it's universal. I think, you know, I need you to do that so that I don't have to. And then you... And then you do this shit where like, we talk about it, and I
you
go,
might
no, that's
figure
all bullshit,
it out by
man.
Laughing
like, fuck
at
off.
Me. Yeah,
Ian, we didn't. I mean, we could. You know, we did a lot about Akashic Records and stuff. This is more of a general topic. Do you have any sort of like final thoughts on all of this shit that we covered?
Man, we went. We talked about a lot of stuff. And I think it's all. All as you said, it's all, even though we talked about all these topics and went all over the place, I think it's all connected to us, trying to figure out what trying to be comfortable with the fact that we will never know what the purpose is, you know, and
yeah.
that there may be, and the horrifying thought, I think the truly horrifying thought that there is no purpose, right?
Yeah,
right.
Oh, 100%.
And that is what all of this discussion is about.
But okay, but let me. Here's my final thoughts. I feel like that's a good sort of catch 22 of like chicken or the egg, where it's like, if you didn't have this mortality, would you be worrying about it? And if you weren't worrying about it, what would the point of life be? Right. So like, isn't the whole thing about like trying to figure it out kind of the point, even if there's no answer, you're sort of going through.
I 100% agree with you. And I think that's one of the things that makes us human. Like there is not much we can nail down, but that contradiction, I think, is what makes us human.
Yeah. I mean, we're way better than those gloob gloss that showed up and then we started that simulation about racism. We got to fucking get those.
When we get out, we're going to find them. We're going to bust them up.
It's funny that I just want to bring those this cancers. Up. Like anytime I think of like weird racist things, there are definitely in this realm of people trying to talk about the universe and stuff, say there are people being like, oh, well, you know, Jewish people were from Mars or whatever. There are people that have defined where different races have come from. And I'm just like, no. Don't make this some fucking like solar system, like racism thing. Like,
they're coming at it at the fucking wrong angle.
Yeah. I'm like, I can't listen to you anymore because you've assigned a race to an alien existence that is
dehumanized people, basically. Yeah, right. Exactly.
And Jews are just Martians. Fuck.
Like, oh yeah, well, they're from Tiamat. Shit. Yeah. Like, fuck, dude.
Okay.
I think we all picked the wrong topic then. Can we do this again?
Next week, Ian will be back. We'll be talking about how Jews are just Martians. Ian, thanks so much for being here. Once again, the podcast is called Respect the Crit, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much for having me. This is a delight.
Well,
this
are
is
you
fantastic.
Gonna stick around and do the right? Are you gonna stick around and do the bonus where we
absolutely.
Get real crazy?
All absolutely right,
so,
I will.
So if you want to listen to that, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. It's $1 a month. You get access to most of the stuff. If you really want to buy us a drink, it's $8 a month and we appreciate that. That's it, right? Thanks for listening. Ian, thank you so much again for being here. And remember, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. It's like the last hour of our conversation is basically summed up by that quote. So we'll see you next time.